Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I have a question for you out there. Who killed Gregory Johnson? He was attending San Jose State University when he was murdered. That's right, murdered. They claim he had hung himself in an area where he's 6'4 and could not possibly have hung himself. Unbelievable. And they got away with it so far. But God will be the final answer for them. Some of them boys are going to be miserable. They murdered this young man. And they all got together and tried to save them. My question would be, why do we join stuff like that? There's not a reason in the world. By him being the only black out of about 40 people, yet he wanted to join. I would never, ever understand that. I won't, but that's me. I would never, ever understand that. He was hit in the back of the head with a pipe, and most likely that knocked him out because he was a big guy, 6'4". And it knocked him completely out. And that's when they put the rope around his neck and claimed that he had committed suicide. He didn't commit suicide. He was murdered. And to even think for a second that he committed suicide because he owed $4,000 in college is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. You're going to owe $100,000. About time you get out of college. So they're saying, this is what the police officer actually told Miss Denise Johnson. Your son committed suicide because he owed $4,000. If anybody fall for that crap, they got to be sick. That is the sickest thing I ever heard before in my life. But the sad part, San Jose University, they have the picture of Carlos and Smith in the Olympics throwing up a black salute. They need to take that down. They need to take it down. They need to take that down because they're probably one of the most racist institutes in the history of mankind. Yes, they are. One of the most racist institutes. They allowed that man to die, to be murdered. And the people who committed the murder have gotten away with it so far. But they don't live forever. God will be waiting on them. Their time is going to come. If anybody out there who knows anything about the murder of Gregory Johnson, please contact Reverend Pinckney. You can reach me at 269-369-8257. The mother needs closure. She needs to find out exactly what happened to her son. The autopsy revealed that he had a large gash on the back of his head, where he may have been hit by a pipe to knock him out. They claim that he killed himself because he owed $4,000. If that's not the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life, nobody in college is going to kill themselves over $4,000. Matter of fact, if somebody in college owes $4,000, they're happy. You can, when you get out of college, you can owe as much as $150,000. It all depends on how you utilize your time and your money. And they'll loan you money. When you're in college, you can get a credit card anywhere. Everybody be breaking the doors down trying to give you a credit card. So for them to say that Gregory Johnson killed himself over $4,000 is ridiculous. Gregory Johnson did not kill himself. He was murdered. And I'm charging the University of San Jose State with murder because they failed Miss Denise Johnson and her family. They actually failed that family. If you heard her on the show last week, she's crying out for help right now. She wants somebody to help her get closure on her son. He was a scholar, brilliant. I was reading about him. But yet and still, they're still claiming he murdered himself. He committed suicide. I'm not buying it. You might buy it, but I'm not. I'm not even accepting that. Those of you who are out there, those of you who may live in the San Jose area, I got a lot of friends out there. We need your help. We need the help to find out who these guys are, where they're working at. Allegedly, it was 33 other people in the house when he was murdered. 33. So they're telling me that 33 people allowed him to commit suicide. Wow. They allowed him to put a rope around his neck and hang from a pipe that was 5 feet, 7 inches from the ground. He hung himself. And he was 6'4". They said where they found his body, they could not, that could not handle his body. But yet and still, the sheriff department claimed he committed suicide because he owed $4,000. Yeah. $4,000. Let that sink in. When you leave college, most of the time, it depends on what college you go to, you might owe $100,000. But yet and still, Gregory Johnson murdered himself. Murdered himself over $4,000. There's been a lot of black folks being hung nowadays. So you have to be aware of it. If they catch me and try to hang me, they're going to kill me first before they do so. Then they're going to put a rope around my neck because I'm not going for it. We're just going to have to die trying. Those of you who are out here, it's time that you take a stand. Let's stop all this nonsense. You see? Wow, amazing. I'm still hurt over Miss Johnson talking about her son, Gregory Johnson. My feelings is hurt. How we allow them to get away with stuff like this. How they get away with stuff like this. It's amazing. It's amazing. And we don't do anything unless it happens to us. Then we want to snap and fight. Whatever your issue is, that's my issue. whatever my issue is, should be your issue. If you've been targeted by this government, that's my issue. If you go into court for any reason, that's my issue. If you've been sexually harassed while in the army, that's my issue. Your issue is my issue. And my issue should be your issue. We have to learn to stand together and fight back. We can no longer allow this government to attack us one at a time. That's how they get away with it. It's unfortunate that this stuff goes on. It's unfortunate that we allow it to happen. But I'm telling you this right now. It's time that we take a stand. You need to tell all your friends about what's happening to you. If they don't believe you, if you tell them you're being targeted by the government and they don't believe you, keep moving. Once you give them that information, you have done your job. Don't sit back and try to dwell on it. They're saying that you're nuts and everything else. You give them the information. Once you give them the information, keep moving. What they do with that information is on them. Because you have completed your job. You told them this government is doing things, using microwaves, everything you could think of. And if they use it on you, they will use it on me. They will use it on your brother, your sister, your cousin, your friends. But we have to stop them. And we can stop them if we pull together, stand together, fight together, and not allow them to get away with this mess. And the only way we're going to win is take a stand. I'm happy to see my friends on today. We got a full house today. We got people from everywhere on this line. And I want to thank all my listeners from last week. We had a tremendous showing last week. And we're getting better and better every week. My goal is to have at least 250,000 people listening to my TIs tell their story, listening to them. And if they have something they want to say, they can email me. You can hit me up in the chat room. You can do whatever your heart desires. But we're getting this message out here. And on this note, I want to bring in the one and only. I'm going to say this. Dr. Black, I'm really excited to have her on the show today. She's a person who has a lot of credibility, who out here taking a stand. But we can only do what we need to do when we learn to fight together. You cannot fight these people as an individual. Anytime you fight as an individual, they are going to zap you up. If you're being attacked by a microwave, any kind of electronic device, you need to tell people, even if they don't believe you. Keep moving. Keep moving. Let people know. Even if they call you nuts, let them know. This is actually happening. This is happening. Whether you like it or not, because it could be happening to them and they don't even know it's happening. That's right. It could be happening to them and they don't even know what it is. On that note, I got to bring my good friend, my very good friend, Dr. Black. Dr. Black, are you there? Talk to me.
Good evening, Reverend Pinckney. How are you today?
Hey, I'm great. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for allowing me to come and share on your broadcast today. It's a beautiful day in Tennessee. How's it looking in Michigan?
Oh, beautiful. We had a little rain earlier, but, you know, we need a little rain. Now we got a little sunshine, and we need a little sunshine in our life. So we had the best of both worlds. So that's how that operates. Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. Dr. Black, tell us a little bit of your history. Tell us a little bit about you before you get into your story. Talk to me.
All right, I'll try not to tell a whole lot because last time we ran out of time with me doing just that. I'm essentially a 24-year victim. It's the only word that adequately describes what is happening to those of us who are suffering from electronic harassment and organized stalking. My victimization started with a phone call from a person who would turn out to be the perpetrator slash handler of me being in the program. A couple of years later, my cousin told me the devil is playing with your mind, and when he gets through playing with you, he's going to destroy you. And she went on and said, and when they open you up after you're dead, they will find all of your organs have been stressed. I have since that time learned that microwave energy will cause the organs to be expanded. I have also, since 2018, received a medical note from a CT scan that I had done at a hospital that shows seriously that is what's happening. My spleen was scarred. How does a spleen get scarred when you've not had an accident of any kind? My colon had multiple areas of scarring. My lungs had some nodules in it. My heart had a nodule. My right kidney had a nodule. And I was told by a medical doctor that nodules are both calcified and non-calcified, and something called granulomatous are just other terms or sophisticated terms for chips. In 2014, I was examined by a private investigator who located 53 different areas of my body where there were chips, 15 in my right leg, feet and ankles, and 12 in my left, as well as in a kidney area and in my heart and sternum. So I've been battling just staying on my feet. The perpetrator said to me that I had offended him when I would walk off from him. We were personally involved at one time many, many years ago. And when we were no longer involved, I would not spend any energy talking to him. And he said that offended him. And so after he got his military training and learned how to remotely assault and attack, he said that he was back for revenge.
Mm.
So I've been fighting. 2003 was the year that the high-tech torture was announced. It had already begun, obviously, all the way back to 1997, but it had 2003 was when it was announced, and I've been fighting it ever since, fighting to expose it, fighting to get it stopped, fighting to save my children and my grandchildren from the results of it.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Well, you know, I really don't know where to start with you, but I tell you one thing, I want you to give it to us. Let people know exactly what happened. So when it started happening to them, they'll know exactly what to do. So talk to me. I'm going to give you about 30 minutes to talk about this. So take your time, and if for some reason we run out of time, I'll get you back on right away because I think your story is so interesting and it really keep me on edge. But I think it's designed to educate people around the world. And that's what we have. We have listeners today, even from Australia, who want to hear exactly what you're talking about. So talk to me. Take your time. I want you to tell it.
I want to kind of focus on the young people that are right now beginning to feel the effects of being target is a military term. I want you to understand that. And I was just today looking at a book that was written by Dr. Robert Duncan, and he explained what the term target means, and he explained that it was a military one, and can be used in their what they call theaters. And see, we as targeted individuals experience what they call a street theater. Well, the military also create theaters, and it's their assimilated this is of what they are going to be doing to their enemy. So what I've been receiving phone calls from people in their 30s who have found themselves experiencing this kind of technology and the results of it. I actually have spoken with someone from Australia in the last several months. I've spoken to someone from Israel. They are in their 30s. I've spoken to a young woman in Kentucky and just today learned about someone else here in Tennessee who is in her 30s. A young man over in Texas at 26 has been hearing, has gone through more than a year of the perpetrators telling him to commit suicide. And to make it look like it was his idea, it was to look like he was starving to death. And so what they would do is he ate or drank was make him feel like his mouth was on fire. Had the sad, sad news early in June of another victim of electronic harassment having committed suicide, they say, but I don't believe it. And Reverend Pinckney, I want you to know what's so interesting about it. They said she was found hanging in the backyard. This one was an accomplished artist. Several years ago in Kansas City, Missouri, there was another woman found hanging in a bedroom. And the most unsettling part about that situation is that she called me just two or three nights before she was found. In the middle of the night, like at 3 in the morning, she called me, and we talked for a brief period of time. And then the next morning, I found some emails from her in my mailbox, and she said, I want you to have this because I don't know what these perpetrators are planning. And the next thing I knew, I was getting a phone call from her landlord telling me that they had found her. Also here in Tennessee, just this past December, a woman who was also experiencing the electronic harassment, they say she shot herself. And so I want you to look at how prevalent, and I'm not trying to in any way associate this with what happened to the young man. I'm on your side with him. I can't see it. My dad was 6'4", and so 7 inches of space would have made it pretty hard for him to hang himself. But I'm just wanting you to see how vicious the perpetrators are, how cruel and how evil they are, and they are affecting younger and younger people. My youngest child is 42 years old. And I've been fighting for her because the perpetrator told me in 2008 that by the time my little girl was 5 years old, he had already taken over her mind. So they're doing this thing for mind control. And because of the power, quote unquote, that they feel they have over the life of another person, they have no qualms of trying to force a person to commit suicide or themselves committing murder or themselves doing harm to someone else and trying to make someone, say a child, take the blame for it. I've read about things like that happening as well in books that were written by MKUltra victims from the 1950s and 60s. Carol Rutz, who wrote a book entitled A Nation Betrayed, I believe she spoke of that. There's also a woman named Bryce Taylor, whose book was entitled Thanks for the Memories. And yet another woman, Kathy O'Brien, who lives right down in Alabama now, and she was assisted by Mark Phillips to get away from this kind of the MKUltra programming. And so these three women wrote books about their experiences, even in the 50s and 60s, as children, being mistreated by this mind control technology. So we have it here now, and we have it where it does not have to be face-to-face, but it is so available and so prevalent to those who have the access by computer, by internet, and by satellite and cell towers. People want to discount the internet as being a part of this, but it's through the internet that the commands are given. It's through the internet that the assimilations are made, that the I'm trying to think of the term. I have I've been experiencing cognitive difficulties. The perpetrator that calls himself, quote unquote, a handler and a mind control programming expert monitors me 24/7. And one of the things that he is able to do is to block my thought processes. But it's called virtual reality software. They can plug their sick, satanically inspired thoughts and ideas into a computer and come up with some assimilation of what they would like to do to us. So they may do that at night. They may meet at night or talk at night and come up with these crazy scenarios, and then we find ourselves playing it out. And what I have learned is that the playing out of them can be all across the nation. I could talk to people who live in 5 different parts of this nation, and we would have all experienced the same crazy phenomena that day.
Mm.
So these are the kinds of things. And if I were to talk about the torture or the things that they would do, you can have smells, unusual scents can be sent to your nostrils, and you not understand where they come from, or you can begin to think that you're being gassed. It's the term that is used. People, especially the elderly, are being made to fall. If you hear someone falling flat on their face, you can be assured almost that the perpetrators did it. They like to hit you in the back of your knee, and that somehow makes you fall forward. Sexual assaults are very prevalent occurrences to those of us who are experiencing electronic harassment. Oftentimes, I have pain in my right leg in particular. I had bilateral knee replacement surgery done in 2002 that the perpetrator deliberately messed up the right leg so that I would have to have surgery again, and that was done in 2018. And since then, I've had nonstop assaults to my right leg, my right thigh in particular, and it hurts so bad that I can hardly move. So people are experiencing pain in their limbs and their feet. Lots of people that you see walking around with boots on, there's no way that many people can have foot problems at the same time, and yet they are all victims of electronic harassment and don't even know it.
Mm.
I'm trying to think of so many things. Sleep deprivation is a major factor in all of this because it allows them to take over the thought processes. Dream programming is also something you'll hear often spoken of, because you can have dreams and they be so weird, and yet I understand that interrogators who have been trained by the CIA and the DOD can step into your dream and begin to interrogate you or plant thoughts in your mind. I had a 72-hour EEG done in 2017, and my instructions were to write down anything that was unusual, and every time I woke up, what was happening. So 3 or 4 times during one of those nights, I wrote down electronic dream when I woke up. And I knew it was electronic because I never can remember them. And the results from the doctors when she read the EEG was that she could not find any evidence of those dreams. So what that did was that the dreams were being pumped to me. My brain did not produce them. She also gave me a diagnosis of transient altered awareness. That meant that I was in a trance. The hissing or the ringing in the ear is another symptom that people often describe, and that's called tinnitus. It is not produced by the brain. It is produced outside of the brain. It's a signal that's being sent to a chip that is usually located in all of our ears. Believe it or not, everybody in this nation has been chipped. I read in 2005 that by May of 2005, the expectation was that everyone in the nation would be chipped. And 1985 is what I read in a book that was written by Dr. Leonard Horowitz, was the year that President Ronald Reagan signed a bill called the Immigration Control Act. And within the body of the bill, there was a clause that said every baby could be chipped at birth.
Mm.
I believe that has been happening. Just think about it. From 1985 to 2020, That's 35 years. So is there any any thoughts, you know, that a child in their 30s would be experiencing electronic harassment? Of course, they were set up as babies. So the tinnitus or the ringing in the ears is something else. And it entrains the brain, which is what makes you more susceptible to any commands that the brain can hear but the ears cannot. Again, these are the kinds of symptoms that are being described to me by young men and young women in their 30s. And they are extremely terrified. They are generally in a lot of pain. One young man who lives in New York told me that they would, like, keep him awake for 3 days straight, or that they talk to him nonstop, which means that they are constantly bombarding his central nervous system, which obviously would keep him on edge. One of the favorite things to do, and the perpetrators like to get the family members to do it to the person, is to get them admitted to a psych hospital, and from there comes a label, always false. And don't think for a second that they don't know, that the hospitals don't know what is happening to the people. I can assure you that they do. I wrote a change.org petition in 2013 that was in response to a report that had been released from the United Nations Special Rapporteur for the Human Rights Committee on Torture and Other Cruel, Inhumane, and Degrading Treatment of Punishment. That petition was asking the President, Congress, and my state representatives to issue a bill that would make it against the law for the medical or the psychological professionals to give false diagnosis to persons in order that it would cover the fact that they were illegally being used as human experiments or for military training. At that point, we were able to have a meeting with the special rapporteur, whose name was Juan Mendez, in Washington, D.C. We talked about our plight. There were about 15 of us who were all targets, all had been multiple-year targets. We told them about our experiences. We asked him if there was any way he could help us to get it exposed and stopped. We didn't get much response from him at that time. However, last year, the current special rapporteur to the United Nations Human Rights Council on torture, his name is Nils Melzer, he began to ask for information from the communities, and they called us interested parties and stakeholders regarding our experiences with being tortured. That was a major step for us, because then the United Nations was willing to look into it. Now, granted, what got their interest was the plight of Julian Assange, who had been a resident in Ecuador, but at the Ecuadorian embassy for multiple years, waiting extradition to the United States. And so it had gotten to their attention that Mr. Assange's, I guess we would almost call it capture, might actually be considered torture. So based on our responses and what they had found in their own investigation about the treatment of Julian Assange in the Ecuadorian ambassador embassy, they came out with the term last October of cyber torture. That is helping us tremendously, because it now is a recognized term for the very same symptoms that we are experiencing. And I did indeed write them immediately and let them know that there were multiple signatures that I had collected related to this kind of treatment. So as of June, as of the end of June, I had over 5,000 signatures. 4,700 of those are right here in the United States. and the other 300 were from other countries. That's letting you know that people are speaking up, people are speaking out, but that this is a worldwide issue.
Absolutely.
Let me say this.
One of the things that always got me what happened in Cuba, that to me that was one of the big things, and what happened in Iraq, I think that opened the door for the target individuals to realize now that they're using it on their own people, and this gives you the opportunity to say, well, yeah, what did happen in Cuba? What did happen in China? What did happen in Iraq? See, this gives you an opportunity, and I think this has opened the door for a lot of my target individuals to understand that now the world is beginning to understand exactly what is happening. This is not nothing new. This has been going on for years. So, listen, I just want to add that, but if you want to make a comment on something like that, you go right here. But I want you to make sure that you have enough time to take care of your business. You got about 13 more minutes to take care of your business.
Okay, thank you. I do. As far as what happened in Iraq, there are some reports that were published by the Physicians for Human Rights. The first one that I became aware of was about 2005. It was entitled Break Them Down and Leave No Marks.
Mm.
And it talked about what happens to the prisoners in the Guantanamo, Iraq, military or CIA torture prison. And they broke down, they took each act of torture and described what it did. They described the long-term, the short-term consequences, and they talked about the legal ramifications for each one of them. Sleep deprivation was right there among the top. The important part about that report is that what they described was exactly what was happening to us. In 2005, there was the formation of a group for targeted individuals called Freedom from Covert Surveillance and Harassment, and I was a part of that forming group, and that report described what I had heard from some hundreds of other people. Break Them Down and Leave No Marks is exactly what's happening to, it has happened to us, it is happening to these young people today. It will continue to happen until it is exposed and stopped. The breaking down piece is a psychological breaking down. They're broken down by terrorization, both in the night and in the day. The leaving no marks, you can be scratched and scarred, burned on any part of your body and not be able to tell where it came from. I woke up with cigarette burns around my wrist one morning. I don't smoke. No one in my house smokes. I did not have burns on my arm when I went to bed the night before. So almost anything that can be done by a man in a physical abusive situation with his wife or significant other can be done from space. And that was revealed by then Ohio Representative Dennis Kucinich in a bill called H.R. 2977, or the Space Preservation Act. It was presented to Congress in 2001. In that bill, he described the different kinds of things that could be done from space to a human being laying in their home, in their bed at night or sitting in their home, including, and he used the phrase mind control, and he also used the phrase murder.
Mm.
So those are the, and when the report Break Them Down, Leave No Marks came out, I immediately wrote to the then director of the Physicians for Human Rights, his name is Dr. Scott Allen, and described to him in each instance how what was happening to me mimicked exactly what I'd read. Within a few years, they came out with another report that was called Broken Laws, Broken Lives. And the titles are significant because they really do describe what is happening to us in America, even though they were talking about prisoners who were being held in CIA and DOD torture camps in other nations, be it Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo, or Iraq. You'll remember, I think it was about 2004 when during Desert Storm, the Iraqi soldiers were made to walk out with their hands up in the air because they had been subjected to what we heard was called voice of God technology. It's the same kind of technology that we today call V2K. We call it subliminal messaging. We call it there's one term for silent sound spectrum, many terms for hearing someone talk in your head, but you can see no one. Well, that was exactly the technology that was used on the Iraqi soldiers in Desert Storm in 2004. There was something else that you mentioned. You mentioned Cuba. And as far as that those reports are concerned, many of the TIs have gone to see Dr. Hopper down in Florida and have had it confirmed that they have the same and or similar symptoms as did those persons in China that from the Cuba and the China experiences. Tinnitus was a big one on the list, and most of us have the tinnitus, which again is used to entrain our brains to keep us suggestible or have us walking around in a trance. Cuban embassy employees reported is so important also to us because one of the developers of some of the voice-to-skull technology, Dr. James Lin, wrote a report or an article inserting that microwave energy and or microwave hearing could be also a culprit in what was happening in Cuba. Microwave hearing is also another term for voice to skull or hearing someone talk to you when you can't see them or identify them. But just having that scientist weigh in on what had happened in Cuba was most important to us because there's a significant number of us who have that very phenomena of hearing someone talk to you in your head. Just because you don't hear them doesn't mean they aren't talking, which makes it all the more dangerous for you because you can begin doing things, going places, saying things that you did not intend to say but did not hear someone tell you to say it, or arriving at a place that you didn't intend to go but didn't hear someone tell you to go there. That happened to me by the perpetrator hammer that has been victimizing me in 2007. I arrived at a grocery store. I'm sure I must have had something in mind that I was going to pick up. However, when I turned into the grocery store parking lot, his vehicle was parked catacornered across the entranceway. He was outside of that vehicle, jumping up and down, waving his hands as if he was trying to stop me. That let me know that he was there waiting for me. Mm. But I didn't hear his voice tell me to come to that store. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So
just like you can be told to go to a store and not hear someone give you that instruction, you can be told to go to a bank robbery or to a place where someone is waiting to hold you up, you know, to rob you or something, or where someone has been stationed to ambush you. So we as targets, anyone though, seriously, all the more have to be very, very cautious and think through things that they, especially when they get these sudden urges or sudden desires to jump up and go someplace. Please don't do that without thinking through. Now, what exactly do I want to do? Why would I want to go there? You know what I'm saying? Because it could save your life. It could save you from being kidnapped. Anything like that.
Absolutely. Listen, you got about 5 minutes left. Can you give me the definition of a handler, a person that you described earlier as a handler? Can you do that for me?
Sure. The definition of a handler is the person who has, as this person says, is a mind control programming expert. And what that person is able to do is control a person's movement and his thought processes by remote means and his access and or ability to send signals to that person's brain and or body, which would be commands. And a command could be, come to Food Lion.
Mm.
I actually was hearing him very, very low in my brain one day. I was headed to a restaurant to pick up some dinner for my mother, and I was deciding which way to go. Was I going to turn left and go around, or was I going to go straight through? And all of a sudden, I could hear him talking, and he was saying, well, you'd be closer if you just came through. And so I did. I just went through. And guess what? I rounded a corner, and there he was standing in the middle of the road.
Mm. Wow. Wow. One other question. Can you kind of like explain to me what they mean by no touch torture?
No touch torture is where they're able to literally assault you by the airways, be it satellite, be it cell tower, be it Gwen tower. Signals can be sent to you, and it's the same as electronic warfare. Think about it as electronic warfare, and that's done by reconnaissance. It's simply being able to use those kinds of aerial and or wireless means to assault the body.
Hmm. Wow. And they can even assault you sexually, too. Is that correct?
I was raped while sitting in a courtroom one day in 2013. I went to my lawyer and said, I've been being raped while I sat here. May I please go to a walk-in clinic? I went to the walk-in clinic, and they took my blood pressure, which was elevated, said they really would rather a medical doctor do the examination. That afternoon, I had an appointment in Alabama for a biofeedback scan, which did show my reproductive area was inflamed. The next day, I had an examination by a medical doctor, and she did document that I had been sexually assaulted.
Hmm. Wow. Well, listen, you're down to 2 minutes. So tell us what you want us to know. And I'm going to have you back because I know how interesting your story is. But you got 2 minutes. Tell us what you want us to know.
Well, I still would like anyone who have not signed the petition to go out to change.org and sign the petition entitled Stop False Diagnoses Leading to Forced Psychiatric Detainment to cover illegal human experimentation and military training resulting in torture. Every time this petition gets signed, a copy of it goes to the United Nations Human Rights Council on Torture. It goes to President Trump. It goes to every member of Congress. It goes to my state governor and to every member of my state legislature. We also have some other special interest groups added in. They will also, in fact, I recently added in the the network that is led by, y'all help me, I can't even call his name.
Mm.
Oh, goodness, the one who is leading the protest for George Floyd. Name isn't Ralph.
Stephen Jackson?
No, the gentleman is he Chicago? Oh, y'all know who I'm talking about. Now, this is a town where I can see his face, and the purpose is just holding on to my thought processes.
Not Al Sharpton, is it?
Yes, Al Sharpton.
Mm.
We recently added his organization because if they are for what's happening in America, if they're for equality for African Americans and all people, then I wanted to see if we get any response from him. But the point is that every time this petition gets signed, the United Nations hears from us. And I'd like to think that because they've received 5,000 letters from us around the world asking us to look into the fact that we are being tortured, that perhaps we've also had some small part to play in them looking into what was happening to Julian Assange and coming up with the term cyber torture. They are indeed recognizing our symptoms. And they even added into their report that came out in March of this year the word cyber super soldier. They added the word neuromonitoring. Those are important because the super soldiers, mostly that were trained and equipped by the military, and then when they went out to be used by other contractors to destroy America.
Absolutely. And listen, on that note, I got to let you go. I want you to send me the link to sign the petition, and I'm going to send it out on my email list and get some signatures for you. But in the meantime, I want to thank you so much for being on the show, because I think what you brought to the table was tremendous, and also give people an opportunity to hear people talk who actually know what's going on. But listen, I give you another 30 seconds, only 30 seconds, to say whatever your heart desires. Then I got to bring in my good friend, Amy, and then I got to go to Lee. And my good friend Lee, who haven't been on for a little while, so I got to bring him in. But say something. You got 30 seconds.
Well, I would like to just say that if there is anyone in the legal profession that is listening, I have been told by two other lawyers, unfortunately, they are also targets, that I have some of the best evidence that they have ever seen. I believe that a court case can be won based on the research and the medical evidence that I have. I have medical experts. I wish that you would try and help me some way. That's what I really, really need. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Black. I really appreciate that. And we'll talk very soon. Let's talk during the week. All right. That was my good friend, Dr. Black, the one and only. And it's just so amazing when you think about things like this happen. Nobody actually believed that your government would do stuff like this. Your government would do anything in this world. Everybody is expendable. Everybody. Including you. On that note, I'm bringing in my good friend, Amy. Amy, are you there? Talk to me. Amy, are you there? I'll go to Gloria. All right. Let me bring in my good friend, Gloria, and see what she got to say or see any words that she may have for us. Don't see Gloria either. All right, well, let me go to Lee then. My good friend Lee, are you there? Talk to me.
Hey, what's going on, Reverend Pinkley?
Hey, how you doing, man? We just out here rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking, man, trying to make it happen. So what's happening with you? Yeah, yeah.
Well,
talk to me. Talk to me about what's going on with you, though. That's what I'm concerned about, and this is what my listeners want to know. But I do want to say this before we get into it. I was telling you about that girl in Oak Park. She's a real good friend of mine, and she told me the story of that guy that you was talking about, the one that the police, he was an informant, hitman for them. And she was telling me the story. He's deceased now. Is that correct?
Yep, that is correct.
Yeah, he died. Yeah, he died. She said, here's what she said. She said that the police knew that he was killing these people, and he was killing these people for them. I know you have more information than I do in reference to that, but she explained to me I think you told me that he killed his own brother.
One of the things that you're going to see, I know I sent you flash drives in the past with everything on it, but what I'm doing now is I'm putting together a complete video explaining everything that was sent to you. And
okay.
I just went to court, what was it, the 16th. And one
you
of the issues that we're bringing up now is
right? You went in court.
I didn't
get it. Were you in court?
Oh no, we did it over the video.
Right. That's what I figured. Okay. Mhm. Okay. But go ahead and talk. Go ahead.
So one of the things we filing is Franks versus Delaware, because there's so many things that what they said in discovery that I was pointing out, and it was just like, man, you don't see this. This is like blatantly seeing that these people just straight up lied. You know, it's so much in there that Stevie Wonder can see they lied.
Mm-hmm.
So, now as far as the Kenyell Brown, you know, a lot of people don't know that while he was doing these killings, he had other informants that was hanging with him and doing dirt and doing some killings. This is what a lot of people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the people that even had them do some killings, well, them people all seem to be mysteriously dead. Mysteriously they was killed. Mysteriously no one knows who killed them and none of that. But you know one thing about out there in the neighborhood is I had a good rapport with everybody, which was a beautiful thing, you know, not thinking that it would play good in my favor years later. But even like the different sides of people that didn't get along with each other, they're all now is like on board with it. Like, hey, man, listen, you gotta bring this forward, man, because, you know, even when everybody was bringing forward about the one guy who killed the other guy in front of the school. Now, we come out of elementary school. He took his 5-year-old son in there. Then they killed him right on the school grounds as he got in his car. After they had him do that, of course, they didn't want that to come out. So, of course, he ended up dead. But before they actually killed him and shot him up and put him in the trunk of the car, they tried to poison him out of state. So they did that first. That didn't work. He made it back in time. So it kind of got to a situation where they got desperate, like, we just need to just straight kill this guy. Because if we get on him, he's going to expose everything we're doing. Now, everybody knows this. It's no secret. The whole community knows it. Everybody now is willing to speak about it because they like, hold on. These guys is really playing a dirty game out here. And it's being covered up as to how dirty of a game they're playing. But it's sad because, I'm going to tell you like this. They're using our people to do this. And it's other officers that are backing it. And like in my situation, from what the neighbors said when they raided my house to when they raided my son's mother's house, out of all them people they said went over there counting the people that came to my house, and we talking about close to like 100 and something people. I mean, I'm going to say more than that because they said it was like 60 that went in the house, in my house, but I just happened not to be there. Of course, I know they was trying to kill me. They say, man, we didn't see not one black officer with them. Everybody was literally white. And they told us to stay in the house. So, and then even looking at all the officers that came to my son's mother's house, I only seen one black officer. And, you know, the sad thing about it, he was the one outside directing the traffic. So, I just look, I'm looking at the whole scenario, everything, even how they doctored up the paperwork to try to make it look like, oh, he was doing this, he's doing that. And what you're going to see in this video, see, a lot of, like I say, everything, it's one thing me just sending all the evidence to you, but it's me explaining it to you verbatim as to every single situation that took place. Then you're going to also hear what other people have to say, which is a situation that the video, you know, I mean, I should be done with it by today because I got a couple of other things and some people that I'm actually interviewing on a situation.
And okay.
They all talking about it. Everybody's talking about it. It's no secret out here what's going on in Detroit, Michigan. I mean, everybody knows it. It's no secret. You got those that feel Go ahead. I'm listening.
Lee, let me say this to you too, Lee. I know people know about how the police department actually work out there. How they, you know, if you don't do what they tell you to do, they'll give you a murder that you didn't even commit. And most likely, if you go to a court and you have an all white jury, you got almost a 99.9% chance of being convicted.
I'm glad you brought that point up. And the reason I said I'm glad you brought that point up is because it is. You know, in a situation when they raided, you know, the guy that they found in the trunk, they had his cell phone in my house. His cell phone, so they kept questioning me like, who did you shoot? You just shot somebody. Yeah, we know you did it. We know you. I'm like, dude, I don't even know what the hell y'all talking about. Like, you got me lost.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, yeah, you did something out of retaliation and this and that and that and this. And I'm like, nah, you got the wrong guy. I was like, so when they kept leaning towards the guy who was found in the trunk, I'm like, come on, dude, y'all can come up with a better one than that. Everybody know y'all informants did it. The whole neighborhood knows. His family knows. Everybody knows who did that. So good try, but it won't work this time. So they just kind of looked at me like, huh? Like, as if, how the hell did he know what we was plotting to do to him?
Yeah.
So this is one of the things that got him so upset right now. Here it is. You got this guy's phone in my house. How the hell did his phone get in my house? So what they're trying to say is, I acted in retaliation for what happened at the school. But I'm like, nah, man, you guys, your informants did that. I mean, good try, but you won't get a Grammy this time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they tried.
I like it.
You know what?
Yeah.
And I know they're sitting back trying to plot something else up.
Hey, what happened in court when you went to court? Talk to me about that.
The judge did, the prosecutors did not object to my attorney requesting to file Franks versus Delaware concerning the issues of the search warrant, which when in their reports they were saying, oh, he was here, he was there, he was somewhere, you know, places that they saying that I was at, it was like, how is this possible when I have receipts of me taking my vehicles to the shop? Y'all saying that this particular black truck, this black Hummer was here or there. How is that possible when it was in the shop? It was in the shop on the day y'all did y'all so-called controlled buy. Even the guy who worked on the truck can verify that he even requested, like, because I was having a problem with the HVAC. It was blowing out hot air when I turned it on the code. He's like, hey, I can't fix that. You might want to take that over to Wheel City. So all of that, I have all of that evidence. So now it's like the things that even when they try to say, May 5th, I went to my brother's house, pulled up in the alley behind his house and did a short stay. And they say, oh, it was likely he was supplying his brother with drugs, crack cocaine. I say, now, if my brother's on a federal GPS tether, now, keep in mind, we come out of a house in Southwest Detroit, which he was court-ordered not to return to, and he has a federal GPS tether on his leg. He's living with my sister all the way on 7 Mile in the Southfield area. You know, actually, I think he was at work during that time. So how is it possible? His wife wasn't even there. Actually, she was on a cruise. So it's like, who was out there selling his drugs to? I'm curious to know. Because clearly I wasn't there. I don't know how y'all doctor that up. But, you know, it's one thing I noticed and I paid attention to, because I keep reading over this discovery over and over and over. And one thing I noticed is it was a situation where they doctor it up to try to make it look like, okay, we got a black man and a black Hummer and he's selling a bunch of drugs in Detroit, Michigan. Find him guilty. I say, no, sounds good, good script. Only problem is you're not going to get a Grammy on this one.
So in other words, they're not getting a Grammy at all. That's what you're saying.
Oh, hell no. They ain't going to get a Grammy at all. Not with what I got to refute everything they're saying.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Listen, I got about 3 minutes for you to tell us something. Tell us what you want us to know, and I got to bring in Amy if she's on the line, and if not, I got to go to Gloria. Let me go ahead and talk to me.
Well, you know, of course you already know I'm fighting it to the end. Here it is. It's been over 2 years now, even though I asked for a speedy trial and everything. And
I mean,
this case started this case
on the show for over 2 years, haven't we?
Yeah, you know, this case took place
it seems like it's been 2 years.
June 8th, 2018. This is when this all first took place.
Yeah.
And here it is. It's passed just in July of 2020. So, you know, it's a situation where, and even during the time of me fighting, the boy done killed multiple people since me fighting. Now, I hear they finally done locked him up for a whole total new murder that he done did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, damn, how long y'all going to leave this guy out here to kill, you know? But, you know, I mean, that's the Detroit way, you know? That's the way that, you know, the system works out here, you know? You can kill who you want to kill, you know, and as long as you provide us some information on a non-violent offender, and hopefully we can flip him. That way we can have everybody in Detroit in y'all community telling on each other.
Mm. Wow.
But yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, it's deep.
Wow. See, if people didn't know how the law worked, they wouldn't believe none of this. But that's why I like to have people on my show so they can talk about it, because most people who never had any affiliation with the law have no idea what they'll do. You know, and I always tell people, see, everybody's expendable. They would plant drugs on you. They would even have somebody to kill you. This is how they operate.
Yeah.
And then here's something else too. They'll put the murder on you knowing you didn't do it. You know, and it's not just in Detroit. It's in Chicago. It's in every major city. Here's something else that people don't know. See, they got higher agent mercenary people going around killing people in the black community and blaming them on the gangs. You see, people don't know that.
Oh, yeah.
But that is exactly what they do. This guy told me the other day, he called me. He said he needed my help. He said, listen, they're going to try to kill me. I said, who? You know, let's talk about that. Let's get, you know, get to the root of the problem. Don't use the word they. I don't know who they is, you know. So I said, who is trying to kill you? He said, look, these are mercenaries. Mercenaries? He said, they black and white. He said, they got white guys walk around here with black masks on, you know, with the appearance of being black, and they're actually white. I said, wow. I said, well, you got to give me some more information. And he said, look, he said, well, I got you. He said, I'm going to bring you that information. And if something happened to me, I know what to do. So, like I told him, let's have the information. Let's get the information. Let's get it out there. Let people start talking about it. And we do what we do. They are out here doing this stuff and blaming it on these gangs. And these gangs are not responsible for this. But what it is, you know, these are mercenaries. These are paid killers that's in these black communities that's shooting up folks.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm going to send you an article on that. It was a guy robbing a bunch of banks, and they was looking for a black guy who was robbing these banks. But then when they actually arrested a black guy for it, it took the guy's girlfriend to actually send a tip in. And they call them like Hollywood masks. They cost like $3,000 or whatever dollars, or $1,000 or so. And you can be, here it is, it was a white guy, and he had a mask on, looked it just like a black guy, and a black guy got arrested. But had not the white guy's girlfriend decided to say, you know what, this ain't right. Had she not said nothing, that man would have been charged and convicted. It was so convincing that the guy's own mother was like, yeah, that looked like my son.
Yeah.
It's deep.
That's absolutely. People need to know. Well, listen, let me bring in. I got to let you go. I got to bring in Amy, give her a few minutes of airtime. And let's talk soon. Let's do that.
Yes, sir.
And all right, my man, you take care of yourself and stay safe. My man Lee. My man Lee. Amy, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney. I am able to eat lately since these individuals know that I'm able to tell and describe what they've been attacking my stomach. So I'm expected to gain a little of some weight. And I just want you to know that these individuals are running scared because these are not people that you would think that is your average people that you see every day. These are the people that make claims that they are stalked by paparazzis. These are celebrity status. These are politicians. These are people that have 501c3. They are operate 501c3. They are operating not just under the nonprofit organizations, but they are operating and making claims that they are not taking any government fundings. And these weapons go all the way back to the late 1700s to James Matthew Tilley. And these are military weapons. And this technology is ancient technology where the original people were using powers of atoms and molecules and knowing the science of moving energies and the forces of air, the elements, to knowing how to operate and manipulate the elements of the earth. And this is what this weapon is. It's an electromagnetic weapon, and I'm going to read some information about it. It's a book from Dr. Robert Duncan, Project Soul Catchers, Volume 2, Declassified Information from the CIA. Soul Catchers and Recordings, The Entire Life of Every Human. A cybernetic researcher in England developed an implantable microchip called the Soul Catcher. Its purpose is to record the electrical signals of the body for a person's entire lifetime. This means that every thought and every heartbeat will be saved for eternity. Many civilian researchers don't know that a much larger wireless version is already optional. However, if the neural link programs are not just body snatchers turning humans into robots, this is apparently part of the military system called SATAN, and it means S-A-T-A-N. Potentially millions of souls can be cataloged and saved. They love their religious metaphors in the Department of Defense. See the section on Noah's Ark for more details on this project. And then it also says side notes or articles from London Observer, Guardian. Chris Winter of British Telecom's Artificial Life team predicted that within 3 decades, it would be possible to relieve other people's lives by playing back their experiences on a computer. By combining this information with a record of the person's genes, we would recreate a person's physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It would be possible to imbue a newborn baby with a lifetime's experiences by giving him or her the soul catcher chip of a dead person. Dr. Winter said it in British Telecom's Artificial Life team. was taking Soul Catchers 2025, very artificial life experiences. Seriously, it would be possible to imbue, I-M-B-U-E, a newborn baby within a lifetime's experiences by giving him and her the Soul Catcher chip of a dead person. That explains it. Some form of necromancy where these individuals are communicating with the live and the dead. So what I had explained about the mind control, that I knew some type of way, I was born in this research from 1969, that came from the era of Dr. Jose Delgado from 1940, and my mother was born that exact same year, September the 8th, 1940, and the type of research and projects been performed on us, it stemmed through the government welfare services. These people will take your land and your family and reroute you from southern states. If you had property and you were sharecroppers and had things on your own, they migrated people under the disguise that they was getting work in California during the Rosie Riveter timeline and era. That was had something to do with these individuals knowing that the Rosie Riveter had something to do with military, cell phone towers, mind control, all those different devices was up and running with these same type of different type of researches. Even the Tuskegee syphilis research performed on the black men. That same research is similar to microchipping individuals and tracking the results of seeing people's bodies suffer. Well, that's what the microwave chipping and the mind control is purpose is about, taking over the person's bodies, recording the time and event, and treating the body like, I don't know if I said it last week, like the brain is like a black box and it's like a plane. You go recover what happened with the plane in the incident. Well, the brain is the same. And see, we need to get more help, higher elevated on what our brains can actually perceive. Now, if these people find a way to break into our brains and our bodies to manipulate it, now we all have to wake up from this moment. And I want to thank everyone for allowing me to share this information. So you can also go on the line and look for the free copy of the Project Soul Catchers volume book, Secrets of Cyber and Cybernetic Warfare Revealed, Declassified, Robert Duncan and the Mind Hacking Strategy Group. Now, what do I think about Dr. Robert Duncan? He's the problem and he's the solution. Now, everybody put out information. They not necessarily work for you, but you can take their work and use it against them too, because Dr. Robert Duncan, he falls in a questionable category with myself. Not that he didn't put a book out, but when I reached out and contacted him, he never called me back. Now, all of these people know this is very crucial, that they this situation with this mind control and that's going on in people's lives and the information that stem behind it. These individuals are not willing to come fast and come clean and come forward. Even Dr. Dennis Kucinich, he another one wrote that H.R. 2977, H.R. 3616. And I want people to know I'm not badgering these people. I'm just going to call these people out and let them know that you can't go halfway with a problem that is killing people and you it don't affect you. If it don't affect you and you know about it and you're talking about it and some, the people still suffering, it is fair to question these people's roles, because a lot of these people trying to play double fronts. That's more than being two-faced. That's fronting on both fronts, front sides, of the coin, and each time you land on the heads or the tails, nobody wins because everybody playing this game like, don't ask, don't tell. I don't know what's going on, but when the people are constantly suffering. So we have to bust up that type of deception that these out and they are these scientists working for the people that's harming the people with these technologies, but then they're not willing to say that I'm willing to testify. Yes, they can be murdered, but I'm saying that from them putting these research projects together and knowing about them, you will be a hero or a brave person coming forward and helping the victims if you really mean to help the victims. See, a lot of these people, they say they want to help us, but we know Reverend Pinckney actually did go to jail for speaking out for against a corporate American whirlpool, and he has his right to speak out for them because Reverend Pinckney, you know, these some undermined corporations, and these people are greedy. And also, these people are also connected to the corruption, because if they don't be a part of the corruption, then that means they have to be a part of 85% of the suffering American people. And these people have shaken hands with each other, and they are the devil. They are worshiping these satellites and these machines, and they are doing things to destroy people's lives and discredit people, put their children in prison, and knowing that when these children are born, their parents look their children in the eyes for the first time, and they are
absolutely
not expected to say goodbye to their children, because their
Amy
is going to be somebody's target.
Absolutely. Amy. Amy.
Yes.
Amy, we have just ran out of time. Next week, everybody, same time, same station. We will all talk very soon. And listen, let's go out there and help our T.I. family. And anybody who knows anything about Gregory Johnson, the murder of Gregory Johnson, please contact us. And also, be careful out there. They have mercenaries now out here killing black folks. Mercenaries. Prince, Blackwater, those folks. These are actually mercenaries. But there's other groups, too. They're out here being paid to kill black people. And also, they even got black masses, and they got white faces underneath. On that note, I got to let you go. We'll talk next week, same time, same stage. Have a beautiful Sunday.